and welcome to episode 4 of The Ordinary Knitter. I've been very busy over the last week, making baby bits, researching patterns, looking up yarns. It suddenly dawned on me I'd been so focused on the little boy that my friend's expecting that I'd completely forgotten that somebody else I know is expecting a little girl, also a summer baby, so of course I've had to put something together for her. So between these two babies that are on the way, I've been churning out baby bits at sort of an industrial rate so far over the last 3 or 4 days. Bearing in mind, most of these are really small. I've made the baby starfish cloth by Elaine Fitzpatrick, the perfect baby bib by Debbie Haymark, the Ophelia baby footprint dishcloth, that's the actual name, but I would call it a washcloth, by Bridget McKenzie, and the baby cocoon sack from Bernat Design Studio. So I'll just talk about each of those things briefly. I was going on and on endlessly about this baby starfish cloth last week. Well, I've actually made it now and finished it and woven in the end, so it's all over and done with. Although that does raise the thorny question of blocking. Generally, I don't block, especially if it's something like socks or a jumper that my husband is just going to put on. I don't want to give it to him in a crumpled heap, but I'm not going out of my way on presentation. You know, here it is, darling, I finished it. And he goes, oh, great, and puts it on. I don't need to block it. These little cloths are different because they're designed to sit flat in the sense that they're something you would have in a pile or sort of have ready to go. I think they may look better blocked, so if I'm very good, I may do that. The thing with all of these cloths, no matter what the design, is they, although they're small and they're quick, they're not mindless because counting is absolutely critical. Normally they have a border of some description, usually seed stitch, and sometimes there's a further inner border, so you've got X of seed stitch, and then you might have, for instance, knit 4, purl 2, so you've got your seed stitch border, a brief stocking stitch panel, and then a quick purl border as well, and then you've got your design in the middle. So a standard pattern row off the top of my head could be knit 1, purl 1, knit 4, purl 2, and then you can have anything from knit 7, purl 7, knit 1, purl 1, knit 3, purl 4. It's so random to get the design coming up in the purl bumps that you really do have to concentrate on what you're doing. So although it's not, there's nothing difficult at all, if you can knit, purl and count, you can make one of these. But you do have to concentrate, which means that they can just, I find that that just takes a little longer to fit into my day because I can't sit chatting while I knit. The other thing is that because you have to, you can't fudge the pattern. If you go wrong, it's just not going to come out properly. So if you're working from a printed pattern, which in this case I do prefer to, often I like working from a chart, but there's something about these cloths, I prefer to work from written patterns. So obviously each row is written out, typed out, I print them out, and you need to know at a glance which line you're on. And my husband made for me a knitting pattern holder for Christmas, and it knocked my socks off. It's just fantastic. Essentially, what it boils down to is a very heavy magnetic board. It's wider than A4, but it's about A4 tall, and it's all incredibly magnetic, so things don't slip and slide about. And it has two sort of floppy wide magnetic strips that go at each side to hold down your pattern paper, and then there are a selection of different lengths of sort of thin little pieces of floppy magnetic stuff that I just move down as I go down my pattern. He designed it, but he really knew what was needed, and it's fantastic. And but it's quite big. You imagine a sort of A4 square, very heavy piece of metal. I don't just sort of stick it under my arm as I skip out of the door. So all the knitting that I've been doing over these last few days has been very firmly house-based. And I will, as always, be linking in the show notes to each of these patterns to my Ravelry project page. And if you look on Instagram, you'll see pictures, usually of the finished item. So that came out fine. I was very happy with that. I used the King Cole Recycled Cotton Aran in Cornflower Blue. I absolutely love that yarn, and I'll talk about it a little bit more further on. So the second thing I did was a bib. Now bear in mind these are for newborns. I didn't want a giant bib. I didn't want a bib that tied at the neck. I wanted nothing with buttons. I was looking for an all-in-one, and I found on Ravelry, all of these are free Ravelry downloads, I found The Perfect Baby Bib by Debbie Haymark. It's written for Aaron in a 6 month or 12 month size. So as I was scaling it down for a newborn, I just did it in DK. All of these so far, although I know that there's a yarn purchase looming on the horizon, but all of these so far have been stash busters. I decided just to use some white rather than the cream Aaron that I use a lot at the moment for base for a lot of things. I actually used a white DK and some of the leftover French navy from the cardigan I made last week that didn't fit me. And I thought that was quite nice, slightly jaunty for the baby for the summer. So you start off making a in the round a band of ribbing, and that's the bit that goes over the baby's head, and then you just knit back and forth on the front part of that to make the bit of the bib that hangs down. I have a mental blank when it comes to joining to knit in the round. I hate that phrase, it makes my blood run cold, because I always twist it. Well, not always, but too often to bother with. So I followed some advice that I found somewhere on the internet. And somebody suggested just knit flat for a few rows, and then when you've got to the point where you can't twist it because it's very obvious which way your knitting is hanging, then you join and carry on from there, which means that all you have to do at the end is just seam those few rows where you knitted flat. And it's absolutely brilliant advice, and it's pretty much what I do without fail now, especially when you're dealing with projects where you're casting on 70 or 100 stitches. It's soul destroying when you have to go back and unpick things because you've twisted them. So that's what I did with this bib. I did the ribbing flat and then carried on to do the rest of it. And on my second attempt, I'll tell you about my first attempt in a minute, but on my second attempt, which was a success, I then just seamed the edge of the neck onto the body of the bib, and it's great. I used mattress stitch. I love mattress stitch. I find it very satisfying to do, and it just has this wonderful invisible join afterwards. So that worked out really well. The reason I had to start it a second time is because I was, you know, bearing in mind that obviously things need to be stretchy. This is all in one. You literally pull it over the baby's head. I love using, I think it's Jenny's stretchy cast on. Ooh, I may have that wrong. I will have to double check my sources, and that will all be in the show notes. So I did that for the initial cast on for this band of ribbing, and then you cast off what is then the back of the neck and you knit back and forth on the stitches left at the front. And I didn't really have the geography of the piece in my mind as I was doing it, and I stupidly did a standard pull one stitch over the other cast off, and so of course the front of the neck wasn't stretchy, and I just couldn't have that. It was really stupid, so I just started again. But all we were talking about was 4 or 5 rows of rib. It wasn't too serious, so I was very happy with the way that turned out. Then after that, I went back to do another cloth. I decided to use some red stash DK for this, and I chose the Ophelia Baby Footprint Dishcloth by Bridget McKenzie. Exactly the same considerations as the Baby Starfish cloth. It's a pattern that comes up in Pearl Bumps. But when I'd finished it, I just didn't feel that the pattern came out as clearly as I'd hoped. It didn't stand out to me as well, as partly as it did in the photographs of the person who had originally come up with the design. And it wasn't as good as other cloths that I'd done where the design stood out really clearly. So I'm not sure if I'm actually going to give that one as a present. I might hold it back as an emergency if I need to, because I know that, the person I had in mind for this, she doesn't knit. So, you know, she'll probably be more pleased with it than I imagine, because she won't have seen it coming. And essentially it's a hand knitted item for her baby, and she probably won't be picking whether or not the design stands out as well as it might. So I had those three things put aside. That was fine. I suddenly felt that I just really didn't want to do another small fiddly project. I wanted to feel like I'd really made a thing. So I researched and researched and researched and came back again to something I talked about in one of the previous podcasts, a baby sleep pod. and I think I'd said before that all the designs that I had found were in an Aran weight. Now, both of these babies are summer babies. If memory serves me, one's due in June and one is due in July. And I felt that an Aran weight was just going to be possibly a little bit uncomfortable for the baby. But when I reviewed the yarns that I had available, I have two skeins of, I mentioned earlier, the King Cole recycled cotton Aran, which I bought originally to complete the cat face in the punk rock backpack that I made for my daughter. And looking at it, because it's not 100% cotton, I think it's 75% cotton, 25% acrylic, it feels really nice. I loved knitting with it when I was doing the backpack. And I used it again for the starfish cloth, and I really like it. Despite the fact that it's Aran and there's loads of potential for yarn splitting because there's so many strands, you really have to try hard to make it split. I was trying to demonstrate this to my daughter and I was ramming my needle into it to try to get it to do it, and I couldn't actually get it to do it. The colours are lovely, it behaves nicely, the skeins are wound properly. I've just really, really enjoyed knitting with it. So what I did for the sleep pod, it's a striped pattern. I used the cream Aran that I got from Aldi originally that I have masses of. And you use one main colour, that's the cream, and you use two additional colours for the stripes. So I chose the pink and the blue. I don't know how sensitive the new mum is about pink for a girl. Some people love it, other people prefer to avoid it for stereotyping reasons. I don't know how she feels about it, but I thought of the stripe pattern is 12 rows makes up the stripe pattern. Six of those are the cream, three are the blue, and a further three are the pink, and it repeats about 9 times over the body of the sleep pod. And I thought, it's a pink stripe. Pink is an element of the pattern, so if she really likes pink, there you go, it's got pink in it. If she's not wild about pink, well, pink's only a bit of it. So I hope I've trodden a good line there. And as this is a cotton Aran, I mean, the cream isn't, but hey, I just sort of thought it might not be so bad. Also, our summer weather in the UK is incredibly unreliable at the moment. It might actually be that the baby is a bit chilly here and there. So in the end, I just thought, sod it, I'm going to go with this. And they're so cute. The picture that illustrates the pattern is of this incredibly cute baby all tucked up in its pod with a little hat on. And it's just, it's so sweet. I really don't like the name they've chosen for it. It's the Bernat Design Studio, and they've called it the Baby Cocoon Sack. Now, to me, that sounds like something crunchy you stand on in the garden, or, you know, some product left over after you've given birth. I think it's a horrible name, so I'm just going to refer to them as baby sleep pods. So the pattern is knit in the round, and it basically runs 6 rows of main colour knit, 3 rows of your second colour pearl, 3 rows of your third colour knit. Well, I went sailing into this. I cast on my, 100 stitches or something like that. It's a reasonable amount with my main colour. And it does, because it's all in, well, because the main top part's in stocking stitch, it does that lovely rollover at the top. I really like that. It was one of the features I liked in the little Houndales wrist warmers that I talked about before. So I did my 6 rows of cream and I launched into my second colour, and it wasn't until I was a little way down the pattern that I realised that the first stripe colour is meant to be pearl. Well, I'd done it in knit. But I really like stocking stitch, and I just decided that in the overall context of the baby sleep pod, it really didn't make any difference whether it was pearl or knit. So I've just gone with it. I've left it as it is. I've also made a deliberate mistake, and again, which I didn't spot till further on, which is at one point I have done 4 rows of pink rather than 3 in the stripe pattern. In my defence, I was at the time being given an extensive conducted tour of my son's latest Lego spaceship, complete with wine holder for the driver, which I thought was a great touch, and I don't want to think about where he got that idea from. So I obviously was just knit without thinking too hard about it, and I did an extra row of pink. But that's life. I mean, if she notices, it's not like a really awful mistake where it really leaps out at you. But something that has come out, and I'm going to have to find a way to bodge this, is that, as I say, it's knit in the round, and I was carrying the yarns that weren't in use vertically up the inside of the piece. It's basically like a giant sock without a heel. It's not a complex design at all. So I've obviously got these kind of loose-ish loops of yarn on the inside. And when you're trying to get a wriggly baby in and out of a sleep pod, you can't be doing with loose loops of yarn. So what I've literally finished it. I just haven't sewn in my ends. I finished it at about 11:30 last night, and I didn't feel that was the time to start fiddling around weaving in ends. So I think what I'm going to do is a form of sort of flattish overlock on the inside. You obviously don't want a hard ridge where a baby's going to be lying, because originally I'd thought perhaps I could mattress stitch on the outside just to neaten up that point where the new round starts, and then overlock on the inside. But I think that's just going to end up with a really horrible bumpy ridge, which I want to avoid. So I'm going to have a go at something with that later on today, see how it gets on. I've already decided I'm going to knit another one for the little boy that's on the way. I know some people are really relaxed about pink. My husband has two pink shirts and he looks fantastic in them, but he's a great big hairy brute and he can get away with it. I don't know how many mums of boys, particularly this mum I have in mind, would go out of their way to have a pink element in their son's clothing. And thinking of the two little boys of hers that I see already, I've never seen either of them in anything with any pink on it. So I just think it's probably safer to avoid it. So what I'm going to do is order another skein of the King Cole recycled cotton aran in cornflower, because it's such a lovely colour, and I'm going to order another in a sort of sage colour that they've got. So the one for the little boy will be cream, blue, green. I think that's a nice combination of colours, and I'm going to knit this one flat and then just seam it, because I think I'm going to end up with a neater finish. And probably, although I get very bored weaving in ends, I said to someone the other day it feels like clearing up after the party, I think what I'm going to have to do is just have new sections of yarn for every new stripe, because it's just, otherwise I'm just going to have exactly the same problem again of these loose loops of yarn going up on the inside of the pod. They also have a little hat with them, as I mentioned, so I'll make the little hats in the same colours to go with them. So I'm very excited about those. I've really enjoyed doing them. They look lovely. The one for the little girl, a real lovely ice cream colours. I solved my problems with Instagram, so there's a couple of pictures, not of the finished product as such, there's just a couple of pictures of the way that the colourway is working out, which is rather lovely. So what's on the needles right now? Well, it's this, well, literally the pod is actually off the needles, but I still have to finish it. And then probably what I'll do this evening is I'll finish that, I'll weave in all the ends, I'll sort out this seam, and then I will cast on for the hat. So that's what's been keeping me busy. We've talked about blocking. Is it really necessary? I don't know. Let me know your thoughts on that. I also thought I would do a little jumper, certainly for the little boy who's on the way. And I found a really beautiful design. It's a lovely boat neck jumper. It'll be ideal for when he's about 3 months old, which will be going into the autumn, so that should be about right. And seeing it on the Ravelry search results, it was a very simple countryside scene. Now, we live in the countryside, so the main body, the sort of top three quarters or two thirds of the jumper was blue, so that represented the sky. The lower part was green, obviously the grass, and then there were two or three sheep on it, and it was just gorgeous. It really charmed me, and I thought, fantastic, I'm going to make that. Because basically, you've got a massive block of green, a large block of blue, and all you're doing is a little bit of intarsia for some fluffy white sheep. It really didn't strike me as that difficult. And when I actually opened up the pattern details, I realised to my distress that that was what one clever person had done with the basic dimensions of the jumper. She had created, that was her own pattern. So I'm going to have to track that down and see if I can find the chart for that, because it was so good. And I just feel if I try to put something like that together myself, I just have a horrible feeling it's really not going to come out as I intended. So I was so thrilled at first, and then I really went from one extreme to the other. So I'll do a little bit of digging around on that. Just to finish up, I mentioned at the end of the last podcast, there were several things I hoped to talk about today, but time's running away with me as usual. I mentioned about being a knitwear spotter, and this is something which has really snowballed for me over the last few months. Whether I'm watching TV or I'm looking at something in a magazine or I'm just out and about, I find myself thinking, oh, look, that's a really nice jumper, cowl, shawl, whatever it is. And really with children as well. There are some beautiful children's jumpers and little girls' dresses around and things. And I was at a talk one evening last week, and I was several rows back. A lady came to sit down in front of me, and she was wearing a grey jumper with a collar of some description. Because I was behind her, I couldn't quite tell what the collar did, but suffice to say, from the back, it folded over. And it had raglan sleeves. And I was listening to the talk, it was very interesting, but I was easily spending as much energy studying this, and I was trying to work out whether it was a hand knit. And I couldn't decide in the end, but if it was a hand knit, it was very well done, and it very easily could be. Well, thank you very much for listening. I've had some hairy computer problems this week. My computer actually curled up and died after a power cut today, in fact. So I've recorded this on my laptop. Please bear with me if the sound isn't what it might be. I'm promised a shiny new desktop machine for the next few days. So I hope next time I speak to you, all will be well. Thank you very much for listening, and I look forward to talking to you again. Bye.